We're not sure how to have a regular Sunday morning service in the midst of this. And so we just want to mind the Lord and thought it might be a blessing to have a memorial service here for the local congregation or anyone who is here. Realizing that on Monday, tomorrow, many of our church people will be working, serving, and so we felt like it would just be a blessing for us to dedicate this service for a memorial service for our Brother Denny. So you can be mindful of that. Brother Aaron is going to open up with some sharing after we have worshipped and sung, and then we're going to be, Lord willing, open it up to the congregation. Maybe you can share something, how God has blessed you through the ministry of our Brother Denny. So let's begin with prayer this morning. Can we stand together? Father in heaven, thou who sittest upon thy throne and seest all mankind and knowest the hearts of all men, we do come to you this morning with joy, with anticipation, with excitement about the reality of life, life after death, eternal life to those, to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for calling our Brother Denny home. We thank you for the testimony of godliness that has been given to us through your grace and your mercy. Now as we take time to reflect and to, maybe there will be weeping, maybe there will be grieving, maybe there will be sorrowing, maybe there'll be rejoicing, Lord. We yield ourselves to you and we give this service to you and just invite you to preside over this meeting this morning. That you may receive glory. That you may receive honor. Not a man, but that you will be honored. You will be glorified through a life that has been lived for you. Father, we worship you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Give you all glory. Hallelujah.
Greetings to you all. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, in the presence of God, with God's people. As Brother Emmanuel shared, it is a time of mixed emotion and feeling and thought. A fellow soldier who I had the privilege to labor alongside of for many beautiful years has gone to his eternal reward. And how well I remember the fights and the battles that we fought together. And to see God possess a vessel, just the earthen vessel, and to flow through a redeemed, sanctified, surrendered, yielded earthen vessel, and to see God work mightily to the saving of souls and to the deliverance of the captives and to the restoring of the broken and the wounded, into the Father's love and redemption. Oh, what a joy. My life has been enriched for the years that I have had the opportunity to co-labor alongside my brother Denny. And I know his heart's cry is that God may be glorified. He does not want me to lift him up this morning, but to lift up the God whom he loved and served and was so committed to and so dedicated to the glory of God, to his own hurt. Loss of sleep, fastings, prayers, watchings for the souls of others. My dear brother Denny's life was marked by the testimony of others, Lord, others. Let this my motto be. And while I have lived for others, I will have lived like Thee. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't doubt. Our brother Denny, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Oh, church today at Charity Christian Fellowship, let not your heart be troubled. Let us not be anxious and worried. Let not your hearts be agitated with fears and doubts. Ye believe in God, believe also in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There where Christ Jesus is, there ye may be also. So this morning, we sorrow not as those who have no hope, because we know that this life is but a handbreadth. It's but a little vapor that appeareth for a little while. And we are like the flower of the grass. We flourish and praise God for that abundant life in Jesus that causes us to flourish in this life and to be a testimony and a blessing and a living epistle of the grace of God that can take a sinner like me and wash us and cleanse us and make us a new creature in Christ Jesus. And we flourish and we blossom and we bloom and we are beautified with the presence and the gifts of God upon our lives. And we are as a city set on a hill that cannot be hid and shows forth the praises and the glory of our God. That's our brother Denny, isn't it? Showing forth the praise and glory of God. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up a crown of righteousness for me. And not for me only, but unto all those also who love His appearing. That's for us, brothers and sisters, this morning. Hallelujah. Yes, I am going to greatly miss my brother Denny. And like Paul, as he met there with the church, they wept because they would see his face no more. So we weep and we grieve that we shall see his face no more here. But oh, that we may be faithful unto our Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall see Him again. Oh, I wonder what glories my brother is experiencing at this moment. The glories that await the soldier of the Lord. I'd like us to sing face to face with Jesus. Face to face with Christ my Savior, number 147. Face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Can we stand together and worship the Lord in beautiful expectation and contemplation of that day when we shall see our Savior? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face shall I behold Him, far from the starry
behold Him, heart beat on the stars. starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Amen, Lord God. This is the expectant hope of the Christian. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You died on Calvary's cross. And when You said it is finished, it is finished. Lord God, we love You. We thank You for loving us. And we thank You for the blood of Christ Jesus, our Savior, that was spilled at Calvary's cross, so that we could be cleansed and washed from our sins. We could be redeemed and bought back to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, we ask now that You would bless and sanctify every part of this service. Lord, that Jesus Christ may be glorified and receive the reward of His suffering. Father, this morning we lift up our dear sister, Jackie, widowed, and we pray, Father, for Your blessing to abound upon her life. We pray for the peace of God to rule and reign in her heart. We pray for the comfort of the Holy Ghost to be upon her mightily, Lord. And Father, we pray that You will be a father and a husband, Lord, a husband to our sister, Lord. And You will be a father to the fatherless, Lord. We pray for the Keniston family, Lord, that Your sustaining grace and love will abound in their hearts and lives these days, and especially today in the viewing, Lord, as friends come and share together words of blessing and comfort and encouragement, Lord. Father, we pray for Your strength to sustain them, Your grace to be upon them at this time as they meet friends, Lord. And then, Father, we pray for Your grace to be mightily upon them through the funeral service, Lord, through that memorial, Lord. And Father, we just pray that in the days to come, oh Lord, You will manifest Yourself in beautiful ways, that they will know You are with them. And You are with them through the fires, through the trials, through the deep waters, through the losses, through the griefs, through the sorrows, that Jesus is there. And I will never leave You nor forsake You. So, Father, we pray this blessing upon them in the name of Jesus. And, Father, now I do ask that You would bless this congregation here as we share together in this memorial service. Lord, that it may be edifying, it may be glorifying to You, Lord, and encouraging to the saints here at Charity to run that race and attain the crown of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I will turn the time over to Brother Emmanuel to moderate this part of the service.
Amen. Ushers, if I could have a stand and a mic up here. So I think we're going to invite the people who want to share to come and stand up here if we can. I was just pondering this morning the reality of death a little bit, thinking of the hopelessness and the cries of the unsaved, the heathen. I'm thinking especially of the stories that we hear of the unreached people, those who've never had opportunity to hear the gospel in Africa. And they live in darkness and heathenism. And when someone dies, there is a despair in their hearts as they sense that there's something beyond death and they don't know what it is. But there's a fear of dying. There's a fear of whatever is beyond death. And then I think of some of the religions of Hinduism and how that there's also a sense of something happening beyond death. And they believe that if you're a good person, when you live on the earth, that you'll come back in a higher level. But if you are a bad person when you live on the earth here,
You'll come back in a lower level, maybe as an animal, or a bird, or maybe a rat, or maybe a cow, and that's what they teach. And then they teach that there's this cycle, this circle, that if someone here dies, they'll come back to earth in some other form. And it depends how you live your life, whether you'll come back in a form of something better or something worse. But there's so much confusion about that in the world today. But oh, I thank God that we have the assurance of God's Word before us. The truth, the reality that yes, God's Word is true. God cannot lie. And He has given His Word. He has spoken these promises about eternal life, about heaven, a place of rest, a place of perfect peace for those who love, for those who believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is hope of everlasting life. Beyond death, there's something much better. But His Word also gives warning to those who do not follow Jesus Christ, who do not live for Him, but live for themselves. And there's a warning to those that there's fire, eternal damnation and fire awaiting those who will not follow Jesus Christ. That's a reality. But, and we're not left just hanging in wonder whether we'll go to one place or the other. He has given the full assurance, even His Holy Spirit within, to give us that full assurance that yes, I have been redeemed. Yes, my sins have been forgiven. And yes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the devil has to run, because we have the promise of God our Father. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to open up here just in a short time. And if you want to share something this morning, we could just line up on both sides, and we're going to invite you to come and just share something, a memorial. Maybe how God has blessed you through our brother Denny's life, or the ministry, or the preaching, or has inspired you, or something. And we don't expect you to take a lot of time, but just we do want you to be free and open. And this is for whoever's here. It's not just the local congregation, but we do want to hear from our local congregation. So you're welcome. We're on both sides here. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our labor is not in vain. So, who will come?
One thing I think of Brother Denny as is a servant of, or a minister of truth. And I remember in one of the first years of our marriage, someone gave me the tape, The Hidden Woman. I really hadn't heard that much of Brother Denny's preaching. But that tape, I listened to over and over, and I believe that it helped to set the stage for my response as a wife. And I praise God for that. I thank God for giving me that opportunity to hear truth. And the other thing I think of Brother Denny is that, although I think some of us would have faced the temptation to put him on a pedestal, that he didn't desire to be there, and he was a friend of all. And Destiny would like to share something too.
Oh, when Daddy was living here on earth, he was my best friend, and I miss him. And I want to miss him, and now I am rejoicing that he is in heaven with Jesus. If he wants to be with Jesus, God is getting what he wished for, because I know that God loves him and he loves him too.
I would like to say Brother Denny, he prayed for me on Saturday mornings. He wanted a testimony. And I can say, my name is Sadie, and I'm a self-pity addict.
God bless you, Sister Sadie. And I wonder how many of us could share similar testimonies if it hadn't been for the prayers of Brother Denny. And I was pretty fresh out of the Mennonite church when I started attending Charity. And one of the things that changed my life was his attitude. And I saw it printed, I think it's on the funeral brochure, that little in memory of. I don't have to, I get to. And that attitude of Brother Denny's, I realized, was so right. It was so biblical. And that I had a false sense of humility from my background. And his example helped me to break out of that, I trust not in a proud way, but in a wholehearted love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not ashamed and just acting like, oh, I can't, or somebody can do it better. Yeah, somebody probably can do it better, but if nobody else is going to do it, I'll do it. I love Jesus. And that was his attitude, and it transformed my life. And I just want to thank God for using him in many ways, but in that little way in my life, big way.
I believe some of you do know me, but not all of you. I met Brother Denny in 1987 in Africa, Ghana. And he showed me so many things that saved my life. Because by then, I was a slave in Christianity. There were so many things that I do not understand. Because the previous church that I was a member, they taught us in a way that not being a member of that particular church, no heaven for you. But it is Brother Denny who opened my eyes to see that if only you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Spirit is given to you, the way to heaven is opened for you. And the Spirit is going to lead you along the path of righteousness. And it was He who ordained me as a pastor in Africa back in 1990. And since from that time, I've been calling Him Papa, Papa. So He became my Papa. And there was a time that He came to Africa, and we're traveling to a certain place called Pram Pram in Ghana. And He put His hand on my lap and said, Brother Francis, I have never regretted in ordaining you as a pastor, because you are going according to the principles of the Bible. And that encouraged me. And since that time, when I call him Papa. If I come here, I call him Papa. When he's in Africa, I call him Papa. So he became my Papa in everything. And so when I heard of his army sickness, the churches in Africa, we have been praying for him that God will bring him back to sound health. But it is God's own way. He gave him to us, and He has taken him. Glory be to His name. And we know that one day we are going to meet Him in heaven. Because I feel within my heart that my Papa worked according to God's principles. And my passport has expired. But when I heard my Papa has passed away, I went to renew my passport. And there was a miracle. Whoever saw me, he gave me a favor. And the renewal of my passport went on very, very fast. And when I went to the U.S. Embassy for visa, when he saw me, he asked me, how many times have you been in U.S.? I said, 4 times. Have you got your passport? I showed him my old passport. And he said, how many days are you going to spend? I told him, it may be around 2 months. He took his pen and then wrote something. He told me to go and come for my passport on Friday. So I made preparation, and from the U.S. Embassy, I went to the airport, and I reached here yesterday evening. So my papa, because God wants me to see him before he's buried, he paved way for me that everything was done. Fast. That is why I'm now standing before you. But I'm very, very sad that my papa has passed away. But all things come from God. Glory be to him. And one thing I saw in my papa's life is that I personally never saw anger in his life. Anger in his life, speaking angrily. I never saw him in that way. I never saw him. But I don't know. So my papa is a papa. And all my prayer is that someday I also will meet him in heaven. Thank you.
I thank the Lord for the opportunity that I have had to know Brother Denny. And I don't have a lot of memories that I want to particularly share this morning, but just feel like God has been, through these times, doing a work in my own heart and just blessing me in such an abundant way, in many different ways. One of the things that I think about so much is the fact that he was very burdened to see revival in our church. He's very burdened about the work of the Lord. I don't know what's all happening in the spirit world. But if we look at the death of Christ and the victory that was won, we can say, no, death today is not a sorrow. But God is still winning the victory through the death of our brother Denny. The burdens that he carried will still, even as the corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, I believe those burdens and those prayers will still spring to life in this place. One thing I want to share is that a good friend of my father-in-law, Daniel Rudolph, an Indian man, is local to this area as well. My father-in-law called him one day and said, can you please pray about this particular vision that I've had? He said it wanted him to pray specifically for Brother Denny. He was given a vision as well, and this is the vision that he was given. He saw God's hand putting leaves from the tree of life onto Brother Denny's head for healing. This was about 2.5 months ago that he had this vision. As we go to Revelations chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I believe God has done that for Brother Denny, in the place where he's at. He has received of the tree of life the healing that he was desiring. And I believe, like I said, God's work will continue to be birthed forth even through death. God bless you.
I just want to bless God for the effect that Brother Denny has had on my family. 10 years ago, my wife attended. She's not here this morning, but I'm sure she would be glad to have this as a memorial, that she attended a tent meetings in New York, thinking that Zach Poonen was going to be sharing. And she'd read some materials of Zach Poonen, and she got to these meetings and she didn't believe this was the guy she was expecting to see, but she listened to him. And it was Brother Denny. And what he preached stirred in her heart that she went home and in a matter of a couple of days got born again. I think of Brother Denny and some of his specific messages that I keep copies of at my house that I go back and listen to over and over and use as tools and weapons in my own life to remind me again of the truth that he upheld to us. Especially appreciated the Keniston family and their influence in our family in our Saturday morning prayer meetings here in years gone by, and then in recent times on a more personal level with the Kenistons, with relating to Denny and Jackie, going on double dates with them and just sharing with them and getting to know them on a more personal level. And just their testimony of Denny's testimony of a man who loved his God and was loved by his God in return. That is something that is affecting me today, and I want to follow after. Praise God.
I would like to give tribute to my brother Denny. I guess I go back a long way. The special memories I have of him in my earlier years as a Christian, especially a little before I was excommunicated and after I was excommunicated from Yami's church, he was probably one of my biggest encouragers. He encouraged me to seek God and stand for truth, no matter what the consequences. He encouraged me to pray. He encouraged me to lay down my life. He taught me what it means, what the cross means in our inner walk with God. And I just give tribute to him today. I watched his family. I watched him grow up, and they're all very special to my heart.
I guess I've been doing a lot of thinking, and like a lot of others, we came here because of the Hearing the Godly Home series. But once I got here and was here for a while, and understood that that wasn't the basis of Christianity. And I eventually appreciated the fact that there's a set of messages in the tape catalog. It's been in there for a long time. It's called The Centrality of Christ. And when I heard Denny say one time that he was, even though he was grieved, a lot more people didn't listen to those messages. A lot more people didn't order them. They were trying to order all of a lot of the practical things, and he wanted to make sure that stayed there in the active messages. And just seeing that was the basis of his life, that was the basis of his ministry, was Christ. Couldn't be a godly person, a godly man, or a godly anything else without that. And also just seeing what he had, the Charity Bible Institute, how the divine attributes of God were what he focused on, but what his first Bible Institute there, and just the way he always brought things into balance, whether it was him or whether it was the congregation or someone else that he was counseling, that was where he always brought it back into balance. That just the centrality of Christ, and that's one thing I'll remember. Thank you.
When I heard that Denny was dying, and especially since his death, my heart kept going to this certain passage, and I'd like to read it. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully? Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. That was Denny's life. He didn't entangle himself with the world, and he was a good soldier. The world couldn't claim one little spot of his life, of him. And that's been my prayer. My most meaningful memory of Denny in my life, I was a timid 20-year-old and called him up and said, I feel like God wants me to get some mission training in Africa. Do you have any 6-month slots open? And he said, son, we don't have any 6-month slots open, only 2 years. And what do you say to that? And I didn't say anything. But many of you know what the outcome was. And that's what meant the most to me about Denny was he believed in me. He believed in us as young people that we could stem the tide, that we could come out of ourselves, and we could do great things for God. And I was really blessed by his life.
I grew up on the streets of America. My name is Jim Grizzard. God bless you. I did not have a godly man in my life. I didn't know a man that was uncompromised, sold out for Christ, living for the glory of God. I didn't see one. Day, month, year went on. God moved Brother Denny to preach a message, "Where are the men?" And God answered that message beautifully in the man who preached that message for me. God used Brother Denny among fewer than the fingers I hold up this morning. He was one that God used to change me and my family more into the image of Christ than any other by God's grace. I was privileged to be able to travel to Belize and to watch Brother Denny also work in the west of the United States. And where he walked, men and women were changed. Revival came. He was blessed of God, anointed, and hallelujah. It wasn't because of him, but it was because of the God to whom he gave himself, the one who we believe in, and we're here this morning worshiping. And I praise God for such a gift. And what I saw God do in me and in the lives around wherever he went, everywhere, airports, whoever he sat next to. He was a people person. It's all about people. He wanted to see people know the Lord that had changed him and brought him so much joy. You know, I have a memory of Denny. We had the great privilege of having him in our home. And, you know, I want us all to remember the victory, the beauty, and the glory that God worked. And this is a memory I have is Denny and Jackie were walking in a beautiful place. And Denny's head, you never saw a man look so happy, so fulfilled. And the concept of the radiant bride, I could see the glow on Jackie. And they were walking together hand in hand. I mean, it was swinging, and they were just talking and laughing and looking at each other's eyes. And the love was just, it would melt any heart. It was absolutely one of the most beautiful things on earth, the love between Denny and Jackie. And I saw it, and it melted me and inspired me to love my wife that way too. And may we all really love your wives, brothers, love them and cherish them. And through our love, may that radiance and that confidence that we have in them, may it flow. And then I had the privilege of a similar walk myself with Brother Denny. You know, these little gifts that God gives us, oh, how precious. And there I was able to kind of sit at his feet and learn. And he looked at me and he said, oh, Jim, if I had 100 good men, God would turn this world upside down. He would. 100 men. And I praise God that he has been answering that prayer that God was put burning in his heart. And he wasn't just talking about men. It was women too, of course. But, you know, God is answering that prayer. But brothers and sisters, I just pray as that cloud of witnesses now includes Brother Denny, may we be able to say, Denny, let me, you know, God, I want to answer that prayer. I want to be one of those 100 to go out, to lose my life for Christ, to go out, that the world would know Jesus Christ through my life, that I can live and that the Holy Spirit could anoint me because of how much I love Jesus. May we all be able to do that. And this morning, there are some shoes in this world. Yes, they are real shoes. They're empty. They're the shoes of Brother Denny Kynaston. Who will fill them?
I would like to stand and honor Brother Denny before you all because I represent in many ways one of those unreached people groups that Brother Emmanuel was talking about. My name is Mike Whipf. I come from the Hutterites and first got to know Denny through tapes. The tapes found their way into the colony. They were very illegal, but somehow they found their way in when there was, you know, no, the gospel wasn't there in any other way. And it turned my heart towards the Lord, and I am forever grateful for that. That's also my wife's testimony. She also came from the Hutterites. And he's also been a blessing. After we came out to us here, both in our marriage and in other ways, one of the ways I got to know him a little bit better 2 years ago on the work side of things. He came to work for the same place at the same place I was at, and it's always nice to, you know, see both sides of a man, and you can really tell how real he is. And I was really blessed with him. I remember the first day he came out. I was the foreman on the job, and he came out with me. It was just a difficult job. I just didn't have much for him to do, and he ended up filling post holes, backfilling my post holes. And I remember coming home at night and just telling my wife the unrighteousness of the situation of having this man fill my post holes. But he did it with all his heart. I mean, I was blessed watching him do that. And we finally stuck him in a slot. We didn't have work for him, but we knew he needed something to do. So we kind of stuck him in a slot that, hey, here's something for him to do. And he did it with all his heart. And to this day, that position is one of the key positions in our job, in our workplace. Just the way he went in there and organized it and basically made himself a job. He was finally told, even in his faults, he was kind of a blessing. He was finally told, you know, you're 60 years old, you can't be out here all day stacking lumber. And he was told he needs to Lee quit at 2 o'clock, and he didn't keep that. So I just like to honor him and honor you all because, you know, in many ways he couldn't have been the man he was if you all hadn't, you know, followed him and believed him and believed in him and did what he preached. So thank you.
I'm Laura Lloyd, and I am blessed by Brother Denny. He was a motivator, a vision giver, I think of the beggar's cup that he taught us, how that the blessed are the needy, the poor and the needy, and how we can cry out to the Lord for help, and that the needy are the ones he wants to bless, and the beggar's cup. And go to the bank, he inspired me many times to, way back in Colorado, when we first met him, we listened to the Gadi Home tapes. That's where we were first introduced to charity. And it inspired us and set our vision for raising a godly family. As nothing else did, we were seeking for how to raise our children. We wanted a godly home and children who loved the Lord, and it set our way. Back when we had two little children, one little child, I guess, when we first heard the tapes. And then we got that chance to go out to the meetings where he was in Colorado and met him for the first time and where he was speaking. And he, again, being that motivator, when our vision was stirring, he looked over. I had just made a comment to my husband, and he said, "You shall have it," and gave me that hope of fulfilling the vision and the motivation to keep going. And we came visiting the church, heard the preeminence of Christ in that morning, and also saw him in his responses to an individual. Someone was questioning, "Well, what should we do about this couple that was in a remarriage situation? Shouldn't we tell him right away?" And he was full of grace. And it gave us hope that, yes, this is a man we can follow. This is a man who is full of truth and grace. And blessings, the key to obedience was also, our whole vision for godly training the children, how we can have a vision not just to discipline, but also to train them when they're toddlers to come and don't touch and all those little details that changed our life. We'll be ever grateful for the Lord's using his willing vessel to share with us things that have affected our family many years.
I feel like I'm probably speaking for a whole bunch of you. I thought, he's changed my life, but I can't really say that that happened and that changed my life, but I feel like just listening to his sermons over the years has just totally made me a different person than what I would have been without those sermons. One thought that did come to mind was soon after I got here, I was downstairs and I just passed him in the hall and he said, "Good morning, Edna," or something like that. And I thought, all these people, he knows all these people, and he actually knows my name already. To this day, people in this church don't know if I'm Edna or Sarah. And so it was like, just soon after I got here, he already knew my name. So that really impressed me for all the people he knows, that he does know those. Another thought was, just yesterday I was speaking to one of my sisters, and she said, for years you know these people that pass away, and you think, well, I think they went to heaven. But then she said, you also think sometimes, you know, there's this spiritual person, and suddenly all this sin is confessed in their life that you had no idea was there. And you think, well, you thought they were a righteous person, but she said, for Brother Denny, she said, I don't wonder. And I said, I know exactly what she means. When Sadie Stoltz was passed away over a year ago, I thought, now, that's one person I don't wonder. Heaven truly does seem more real to me because I know she went there. It's not people from the past that I didn't know, but it's somebody I know went there. Heaven seems more real. And for Denny to go just reminded me again that, you know, heaven is for real. He really went there. One other thought I wanted to share was years ago in Ohio, I worked as a midwife, and I went into a Schwarzentruber Amish home to do a visit, and they were just getting enlightened that somebody had given them the Godly Home series. I couldn't hardly get my visit, and the guy just stuck this CD in, and he wanted me to listen to it, and I'm like, well, I have other visits. I really should be going, but I felt like I needed to stay there and just talk to them. But it was just
amazing into Schwarzenegger Brownie's home, one place you would have never thought to find a CD player, but they were playing the Godly Home series.
God gave to Brother Denny life. Brother Denny gave that life back to God, and because of that, God was able to give Brother Denny's life to me a little bit. And I thank God for that. It's just so many things that as I look back in my own life, I see Brother Denny all through it, after God. And I want to give God the glory that He deserves. But as I think of Brother Denny, I don't know there's any man quite like him to me. One thing Brother Denny gave me was a world map. He taught me how to use it. How to stand before that map and just allow God to burn upon my heart the people that that map represents. He gave me books. Books that challenge me. Challenge where I'm heading in life. He gave me His time. In Ghana, on the SENT team, He came and shared with us on the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And He showed to us that that book is not finished. It's still in progress today. You and I have a chance to be a part of that record. Brother Denny never lived on the mission field that I know of. And one thing that I got out of that time there was it does not matter where I am. Before, I had certain places I wanted to be. But I realized it's where God wants me to be. That's important. If we're where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do, then we are in the center of His will. And that's all that matters. And so these are just some of the things that Brother Denny has given to me. And I thank God for it. If you look at Joseph and you see things that just aren't right, that's me. But if you look at me and you see things that you can praise, give praise to God. And then remember, there were others like Brother Denny in my life who have helped me greatly. Now it's yours, my turn. It's my turn to be faithful. God help us be faithful to the end.
I'm privileged to be here today to give honor to God and to honor our brother Denny, who has now gone on to be with Jesus. And I didn't know Brother Denny too well, but there are several things about his life that really stood out to me. And one was that he was a worshiper and that he loved to worship God. And something that I have written in the back of my Bible that he said, I believe it was at a youth Bible school, is that demons hate pure worshipful music. And if you ever watched Brother Denny sing or were in a worship service with Brother Denny, you knew that he was wholly set on singing the words of those songs to honor the God who he served, and he was in love with Jesus. And that's one thing that I was able to observe for Brother Denny's life in the limited amount of time that I had to, you know, be able to be around him. But and that's my heart's cry, to be a true worshiper of God, of the one who has redeemed me. And I know that was something else that I heard Brother Denny share about numerous times salvation and redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to worship the same God, the same Jesus that Brother Denny worshipped. It's a privilege to be able to worship our God together. And so praise the Lord for the testimony of worship that Brother Denny exemplified for us all.
Just Give your name.
My name is Timothy Smith. I'm from Michigan.
Thank you. Others, you can just have something you'd like to share this morning?
I'm Reuben Yoder from Costa Rica. I learned to know Brother Denny back in the early 90s. I was just at that time, the Lord had called me and out of the setting I grew up in. And the thing that always was such a blessing to me about Brother Denny was that he convinced me of three things in life. And the first one was that this is God's Word. And the second one was that if God's Word says it, Jesus can. And I'd like to re-echo those with those words again this morning on behalf of Brother Denny to the congregation here. Jesus can. Because He is the Word.
Amen.
That has blessed me. It has been a rock. It has been a foundation for me to stand on. Because I have found out too that Jesus can. And the second one was in the raising of my children. The Lord blessed us with 12. And there was one statement that He had made in the godly home that always stayed with me. And the statement was this: fathers, don't use your children to make your possessions. Use your possessions to make your children. We had 6 boys and 6 girls. And when times were the hardest, this would come to me. Fathers, use your possessions to make your children, not your children to make your possessions. And brethren, I'd like to testify this morning that if we use our possessions to make our children, then Jesus can. Jesus can. We had a boy that went off into rebellion for 10 years. But Jesus can. Jesus brought him back. And I would just like to testify this morning that Jesus is one that's worth trusting. If there's parents here this morning, that you have children out in sin, they've turned their backs on God, you're the parents, don't give up. Jesus can. When you can't anymore, Jesus can. They can be reached. I had to learn in my life, there comes a time when as parents you got to get your hands out of the situation and give it to the Lord, because Jesus can. And lastly, I would like to re-echo the last words I heard Brother Denny say. In Costa Rica about 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago, I sat down in the neighbor's house. We got his confession on the CD and we sat there and listened to it. I wept. My memory of Denny, Brother Denny, 17 years ago, was a young man, middle-aged man, with a lot of strength, vigor, and he wasn't ashamed to stand for what he believed. And to hear him, that his strength is gone. He's an old man. Touched my heart. I wished, like everything, that I could have traded places with him. As I told my wife and my family, surely, then he could have done a lot more people, a whole lot more good than what I can, what's left in my life. I would have gladly exchanged places with Brother Denny. But God has chosen it this way, and I trust that in his passing, the blessings of God will be manyfold more. And the last words that I heard him say, when he was ready to leave, walk out these doors, why, he pled with the brethren here. He said, brethren, the whole thing is in divinity in flesh. And that's the cry of my heart for my family. That's the desire of my heart for you here this morning. It's Jesus can. Christ within you, the hope of glory. Jesus is the difference. Nothing else can ever replace Jesus Christ within your heart. And that is my desire this morning. May you as brethren go forward with Christ, divinity in the flesh. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Reuben. Thank you for sharing that.
I'm one of those who can testify that Jesus can. Because of Uncle Denny and many others, through his prayers, even on his deathbed, as I tried walking away from the Lord, I could feel those prayers of him calling me back. Uncle Denny has known me all of my life. I was born and raised here. And I've just been very blessed by his life. He not only spanked me physically when I was a little guy running around here writing on the walls, but to think that even in the end, as he was in that pain, Mom texted me one day and said that he was praying for me. And in my hurt, as I didn't think that anyone else really cared for me, that taught me something. That it's not just about me. And that he was taking that time to pray for me. And through that, I can say that Jesus can. That he can take those of us who try to run away from him through the prayers of others. And by God's grace, I hope to fulfill those empty shoes.
God bless you, Ben. I know that when he was here that weekend, he had a burden and desire to go to North Carolina to talk to the youth down there. Is there others?
Yeah, I was also thinking about all the messages that we've heard over the years, and we go probably way back to 1985 or something like that with Brother Denny. And I remember the day that he came to the to our place there in Intercourse, and he wanted to speak with my sister, and he spent quite a bit of time there just counseling. And just thinking of another time when Jackie came with some of the children and they were outside and talking with us and just spending time with us. And I just had to think if every message or every little phrase that has worked its way into the fiber of our Christian walk would be taken away, there would be a lot of holes. And I just thank the Lord for the beautiful testimony that Brother Denny has been to all of us. And especially I had to think that he walked with purpose. And I want to walk with purpose as well.
Thank you, Barbie.
I got to know Denny when he worked at our company. And I was pretty bold with him. I talked to him pretty straightforward. I just went to him one day and said, "Well, why do I got to read my Bible in the morning? Why do I got to read my Bible?" And he said to me, "Oh, Tim, you don't got to read your Bible." But I read my Bible this morning. The Lord was on his throne and I was strengthened in the inner man. But no, you don't. And the Lord was on his throne this morning and I met him and it was beautiful. But no, you don't have to. I was working with him. We were stacking lumber, and a huge stack of about 30 boards fell down. And I was like, "Oh, bummer!" I was, and he was like, "Glory! The Lord just saved us right there. That's a message." He used to say things like, "Tim, readers make leaders." You know, all kinds of things he always said. We got on our knees in the barn. Nobody knew about it. We were praying. One time I said, "You know, Jack, you're just like my dad. You guys are old school. You don't get us young people, man." And he said to me, "Tim, you scare me. You scare me when you say that." "Why?" He said, "Well, that means I was old school from my 20s. I've been living this way from my 20s. I appreciated Denny, the way he talked to me. I told him one time, Denny, I did 600 push-ups, man, in half an hour. And he almost cried. I was speechless. He said, do you think that's going to impress God when you stand before him, that you did 600 push-ups? I used to tell him stuff. He used to start crying. I didn't know what to do. How could an old guy start crying when I'm talking to him? I mean, I stopped talking. I just looked at him. He was crying. He was crying for me. His tears were coming down his eyes. And like, wow, Then I waited for him to talk. He had a lot of wisdom. He had a lot of empathy for me. He had a lot of sympathy. He never judged me. Didn't call me a loser, even though I was. So, I appreciate it, Denny.
Thank you, Tim.
I'm Daniel Kaufman from New York. I was just very blessed thinking this morning. My mind's gone a long way. And on the way over here to the church this morning, we drove past the Pendu Manufacturing. And I told my children, I said, first time I heard any of Denny's tapes was 24 years ago on my way to that to Pendu Manufacturing. It was late one night. We had to do an emergency business trip. I was only in my teens, and driving over there, listening to Denny's tapes on the home, the godly home, and we're so blessed by it. And it was, I guess maybe I tended to elevate Denny a lot in my mind and the family. It was about 6 or 7 years after that, I believe, when their family first stopped at our home and spent a weekend there. And we all kind of marveled in the family after they left. We said, you know, they're real people. And I've often thought of that and often been very blessed by that. And coming to Bible school and just the richness of the teaching and the... I was thinking this morning, you know, at my wedding here, I don't remember a lot of different people at my wedding. But I do remember Denny at the wedding, and I just remember the obvious joy and rejoicing that he had that day, and it just really blessed me. And I want to thank the Lord for the rich legacy he leaves here, the blessing, and the home teaching tapes have been a tremendous tool and have been a tremendous blessing even in my own young home. And I also, what I just loved about it, I was remembering a good number of years ago at a leadership seminar how Denny lamented about he was lifting up Christ as the center of it all. It's all about Christ. And he lamented about how many of the tapes going out in the tape ministry are on the home and are on godly teaching and everything. Because he said he was doing an analysis of the year before, how many tapes went out, but he said it broke his heart when he noticed that, he said, one tape went out that year on Christ, on the person of Christ. And Denny really, really exhorted us all about that, warned us, and I have thought of that so many times. I believe it was truly the center of his life and the center of the burden of his heart. Is Christ is still the center. Without Christ being the center of our lives, of any church, any movement, any single person's life is doomed to failure, no matter how many other things you have in place.
Amen. I'm sure many of us could say something, and I'm sure I can. I could say many, many things, but I have lots of memories. I remember the first year they lived with us on the farm there in Redwell. We started farming and didn't have a hired man, and at least not regular. And I got Danny to help out, to go out and help bale hay one day. He had never been on a hay wagon before, and his hands were so soft, the strings just seemed to cut his hands, and I thought he's a real soft guy. But he helped. A month or so later, I tried to get him to help put tobacco away. He refused. He wouldn't help me. And I, too, along with Brother Aaron, can say I've been greatly privileged to know him for 30 years and worked alongside in the church here for about 25 of those years and in ministry for probably 17 or 18. And I count it a privilege to have him be such an example as a minister. Many times I would watch and listen and learn by what he would say and how to walk through a difficult circumstance and what not to do and so many things that he would share with us over and over again. And it has surely left a mark in my life in a very major way. So anyone else want to share something yet?
I was sitting back here this morning and was kind of struggling with whether I should say anything. So obviously I decided yes, I should. I don't even know how long I've been coming to this church, but a while, and that's not been all good. But God has been faithful. And in reflecting on Brother Denny and his ministry and what that meant and means to me, I was just sitting here reflecting that I might have talked to Brother Denny a dozen times in my whole life. Don't really know how many of his sermons I sat under. And I could probably list, really the only sermon that I could pull out was when he was rattling his can and speaking about being a beggar. The Lord used that to burn a hole in my heart that changed my life. But most of my time in this church, I couldn't name the preacher who spoke the message, but I remember the God who spoke to me through it. And that's what I wanted to share this morning, that I saw Christ through Brother Denny in a way that I have never seen in another man. And it changed my life.
Thank you, brother. Amen.
Amen. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Thank you all for sharing here together this morning. I'd like us to open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll begin in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us this selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing this, that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. I think I'll stop reading there. You know, I was reflecting on the magnitude of the finality of death. The finality of that great transfer from this world into the next. There is no man that has power over his spirit to retain life when God says, it is your appointment. For some, it comes totally unexpected. They are full of youthful strength and vigor and may think very little of meeting the Almighty God, their Creator. For others, like our brother Denny, it was a brain tumor, cancerous, he was told. There are no survivors of this type of a cancer. You have a terminal illness, except for a miracle. Set your house in order to die. You shall not live. For the child of God, we groan. We do long to be with our Savior. We do long to be free from the corruption of this world and the warfare and the fight. But oh, while we are here, we soldier for Jesus Christ, a soldier of the cross, and that was the example of our brother, to soldier, to war, to fight a good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. So I believe here this morning, you know, certainly as the outward man began to perish more and more and to decay, and the frailty and the weakness and the pain. Oh, longing to be free from this body, to be released and to be in the presence of Jesus, having a brand new body, where there is no more sickness, where there's no more death, where there's no more sin, no more devils and demons, but only purity, the brightness of the glory of the presence of God. No more darkness, no more crying, no more weeping, except maybe weeping for joy. It does say God shall wipe away their tears. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. With His blazing eyes piercing through our very soul. Everything naked and open before Him. My dear brother and sister, are you laboring that you may be accepted of Him? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. You see, we have an enemy of our souls, and he knows his time is short, and he is seeking whom he may devour. He goes about as a roaring lion. He goes about as an angel of light, deceiving. Are you ready for that great day? Oh, my Lord, what a morning. Are you prepared to meet your God for that great transfer from this life into the next life? The finality. You know, today I think for all of us, we rest in confident hope for our brother Denny. But I had to ask myself, what if it's someone else in that coffin? What if it's you in that coffin? What if I cannot say I know? This person's testimony was clear. And we know they're with the Lord. What a grief it would be to your elders who must give an account for the souls that God has given them shepherding oversight over and a charge over, to not know for sure. Make your calling and election sure, while it is today. If you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I can see Brother Denny loved people. He was a soul winner. He believed the best. And every person called him to higher ground. And I want to say that to us this morning. Brothers and sisters, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Him. Oh, that I may know Him. That was our brother Denny's daily groaning and longing. Oh, that I may know Him. The fellowship of His suffering and the power of His resurrection. To know Him and to be in Him, in Christ. Continually, more fully, more deeply. Brothers and sisters, let us lay aside and let us run the race. Let us look away from all that will distract us and look unto Jesus. All the other loves, all the other things, let us look away and cast aside those other things. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Run, my brothers and sisters, after Christ. Be done with the carnal lesser things of this world and of this life. Run and fight earnestly for the faith, so that you can say, I am ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. And we can say with you, yes, amen. We have no doubt. Brother, sister, your life was marked by a love for God and a love for God's people and for sinners. Your life was marked. I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Absent from the body, present with the Lord for the child of God. But if you're not a child of God, absent from the body is terror. It is weeping. It is begging for mercy, but no mercy. Begging for another opportunity, another chance. No. Not given. Luke 16, the rich man. No, it's final. It is finished. The great gulf is fixed between eternal bliss and joy and eternal damnation and cursing and weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sinner friend, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You can be saved. Jesus is able. He died to save sinners. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And His love and His saving grace extend to you this morning. But will you love your sin? Will you love your own way and continue in your own way, going astray in your own way, my way? I want to live it up just a little longer. I want to walk in my way just a little longer. At a more convenient season. Sinner friend, you don't know if God will give you that more convenient season that you think you have. You don't know. The finality of death. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. Thank you, Lord. He that is holy, let him be holy still. But he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who dies in his sins do follow after. But today you can send him beforehand to judgment. Through repentance, through confession, through crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save this sinful man. And the blood of Jesus avails for sin and uncleanness. There is a fountain opened. Oh, will you come to the fountain free? That cleanses from all sin. Jesus can. He can save you today. Surrender. Surrender to Jesus. Give up the fight of my own way. So, brothers and sisters, let us run. Looking unto Jesus. For our day, our appointment is set. And we shall make that great transfer from this world into the next. And we have no greater desire and longing that when you're laying in that box and the breath of life is gone, that we may have that confidence. This brother, this sister loved the Lord. And they're in the presence of the Lord. God bless you. We love you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Aaron, for those words to us this morning. This thought of that scripture brought about, he that is righteous, then be righteous still. He that is holy, then be holy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. That's a scary thought. You know, some of us can, you know how it is, if you have sin in your life that you know you need to confess, and you just kind of try to, you know, endure for another day, you just try to make it for another day and through another service or whatever it may be, but you actually know that you can deal with it sometime. You can get rid of it someday. I'll deal with it someday. But for right now, I can still hold on. I can still live in this unjust way. But he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. There will never be a change. You'll be unjust, unholy, impure, full of wickedness forever and ever and ever. Oh my, that's a scary thought. That should make me run to get rid of it now. That's awful. It really is. I have the confidence and the such a joy in my heart as I have observed Brother Denny's life in the last several months. Knowing that they have walked through much storm and difficulty, and we've walked with them in some of those things. And when he came back here and made that confession and repented openly, that was so meaningful to us as elders who were involved in those things. It may not have meant as much to the congregation, but I think it was also meaningful to the whole congregation, maybe more, some less. But the testimony that is going forth is that it's clear.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I was sitting with someone just the other day, and that person said, Brother Denny called me and talked to me, and just we discussed the difficulties we had walked through, and Brother Denny made those things right, and those things are now clear. And I heard that testimony yesterday. Someone said, Brother Denny, he wanted to talk to me, but at that point he was not able to, but his wife called and said thus and thus and thus, just to make sure everything is clear. And this is what Brother Denny has been doing the last several months. Calling people. Making restitution. Asking for forgiveness. Making things right. Again and again and again. And I have the confidence, when I look at him in that casket, his testimony is clear. His testimony is clear. clear in everything I know. And I keep hearing that testimony from others. He called me and made it clear. That causes such a rejoicing in my heart. I'm just full of joy and rejoicing as I look at that. And when a leader leaves the way like that and leaves an example for all of us, that's not a little thing. May God grant us all the grace to follow after that example. Praise the Lord. I want to share this yet briefly. I shared this with the Kennistons. On Tuesday evening, Denny died early Wednesday morning at 2. On Tuesday evening, we were sitting on our deck eating supper. Had extra food there. We had this couple there from Holland. Most of you will remember the brother and sister who were here like 2 Sundays from Holland. He's a Jehovah's Witness. And she had also been Jehovah's Witness, but she got saved about a year ago. How many of you here remember seeing them? Okay. Her name was Rebecca. His name was Frank and Rebecca. I think you'll enjoy hearing this. They came to our place on Tuesday for supper. We're sitting there eating supper, and we're just getting to really get to know them and talk about things. And I get this phone call. And the voice on the other end says, "Hi, my name is Jan. I'm a Rwandan pastor married to a Russian Jew. And we're over here at the at 400 West Main Street in Ephrata. And Brother Nathan Zeisset gave me your phone number and said I should give you a call." And so I said, "Well, have you had supper?" He says, "Well, no, they haven't." So I invited them to come for supper. And they came and spent the night with us. Their testimony is they had come to Lancaster. They live in New York City. He's from Rwanda, a pastor. She's a Russian Jew from Moscow, which is where he went to college and met her there for a while. And they have like 5 or 6 children. And in the mid-1990s, someone brought a Godly Home series set of tapes from England to Russia. And they've been listening to those tapes, and they've been listening to messages from the tape ministry ever since. They have been translating the Godly Home into Russian. She's been doing that. She has translated, she said she translated the message, the value of a child, because so many people are using child, what's the word? Birth control. And they don't want many children. And they got a hold of those tapes, and she said that changed many lives in Russia. Many of those people, the value of a child is helping them to understand that God wants us to have children. And she's also translated the godly, the hidden woman. And this is what they're here at our place, and they're talking about how this Godly Home series has so changed their lives. They're taking these tapes into Rwanda, and they're taking them and back in Russia. And so I had told them that Brother Denny is ill. He's sick. He's dying. And in my spirit, I was sensing something. God must want to do something. This is very unusual to have a couple like this come to our house like this at night. So we spent time conversing. Just a lovely, lovely couple. They were the first ones through the line here yesterday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Some of you might have seen them. He's from Africa. She's from Russia. She wore a covering, have a bunch of children. They came through here. And so when Daniel called me on Wednesday morning and told me that his father passed away, and we talked and began to make some plans, Before he got off the phone, I said, Daniel, I have something to tell you. And I told him the story of those people and how the godly home had changed them. And he so thanked me for that. And he went on to share the story with the rest of the family. And it was such an encouragement to the family. And I believe that God brought that couple to our home that night for the purpose of encouraging the Kennistons in this time. And they came through here and they sat down on the benches there for an hour or more. Just in honor. You know, some of us don't know how to go to funerals, do we, or viewings? We just kind of walk through and go on our way. They came in honor and they sat there and they ministered just with their presence being here. I was so blessed. Well, here's Frank and Rebecca, this Jehovah's Witness couple, and she's a Christian now, you know, and I felt like I'm giving all the attention to this couple. By the way, he's a pastor in New York City, pastoring Russian Jews there, and has a ministry back in Rwanda, and has invited us to come along, go to Rwanda. So anyhow, maybe I'll go there sometime. So I turned to Rebecca and Frank, and I began to talk with them and try to, you know, they're all sitting there and these people are giving their testimony, and Frank is, you know, unsaved and just very intellectual. And so I looked at Rebecca and I said, I remembered our baptism last Sunday, and I said, Rebecca, I said, have you been baptized since you believed? And she said, no. And I said, well, why not? And she got visibly emotional about that, and she said, well, can I talk with you? Can we go outside and talk? I said, well, sure. I said, well, take my wife along. So my wife and I and her, we went walking out through the yard there, and she just began to pour her heart out. She said, I'm not fit to get baptized because of my life. And I took her to the Word of God and assured her that baptism is based upon your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not according to how you live specifically. I'm not sure, I don't know how I say that, but I believe in living holy, but baptism is not whether you feel like you're ready, but baptism is for when you have believed and your life has been changed and you want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she said she wants to get baptized. I said, well, I never planned to go back to New York, go back to Holland a day or so later. I told her, I said, we have a pool here. We'll baptize you tonight if you want to get baptized. I said, well, I would talk to my husband, see if he'll let me. So I went back up and she asked her husband if she's allowed to get baptized. And he looks at her and, well, it's up to you, whatever you want to do. And she began to waver and she was like struggling and, no, I'm not going to go through it tonight. No, I don't think so. I knew what was happening. I just began to pray out loud. We just began to pray and claim the blood of Christ. And I said, amen. She said, let's do it. We went to our pool. We baptized her in Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. We just had a glorious evening. That was Tuesday night, 2:00 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning. Daniel called me and said his father passed away. I don't know what all those things mean, but to God be all the glory and the honor. But I knew that you, the congregation, would like to hear that. So I want to share that with you. May the Lord guide us continually.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.